A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hi, this is Stephen Amell.
Hi, I'm Juliana Harkavy, and you're listening to Arrow Squad with Cammy the Chameleon and my favorite, Martin the Flash.
And listen to this, or my fictional alter ego will hunt you down. Enjoy.
Hello, Arrow Squad. This is the Flash. I'm back.
And this is Cammy, and I'm here as well. And isn't it great to have Flash back in the house?
Flashback. That's kind of funny. It is so good to be back, guys. We are here covering Star City Slayer, which is Season 7, Episode 13. Yeah, and wow, I think from what I've been seeing, everyone really liked this episode.
Definitely. I have heard so much positivity for this episode. I also, spoiler alert, am feeling very positive towards this episode. And I think you could not have come back for a better week.
No. Well, before we get into it, let me just, in case nobody knew, I was just gone on a holiday. I was down in Puerto Vallarta with Patty Spivot, my partner. So that's where I was, guys. And I know the timing of it was so weird to miss the 150th episode, but, you know, what can I do? It was a holiday. I just wanted to make sure to thank the villainesses for a great job they did, and to thank Harley for coming over and taking over for me. She did a lot of the stuff that I do behind the scenes, the music and sound effects and handling the voicemails and you know, the editing, the work that I do. So I totally appreciate you, Harley, for covering for me. And Cammy did a great job leading the show, and yeah, it was just fun. I listened to you guys yesterday. You did a good job. You guys had some good discussions. You got deep into some good topics. That was fun to listen to. It was hard to not be part of it, but wow. But I wanted to just give a quick rate, my own rating, because I wasn't part of it and I didn't get a chance to watch it or send in feedback or anything. But I actually loved the episode. For its 150th, I gave it like a 9.5. And there's a couple things that I did, I guess, counter you guys on, and that was the villain. You guys really, nobody seemed to like the villain, Chimera, but I absolutely loved him. I thought it was a fantastic, you can call him a villain of the week, but I just loved the fact that he was kind of mimicking everybody, and it was a little bit personal where he was just making a collection out of their masks and their weapons and whatever else, and he was going after people that characters we haven't heard from in a while, like Huntress. That's the first name, first time Huntress's name has been mentioned in I don't know how long. So it's kind of a cool tie into some of the history of this show. But the fact that not one of our heroes could take him on one on one, mano a mano. He was just too strong. And I know it's pushing the plot. It's a plot device. You know, like, this is a good way to get the team back together. But that was what the good thing about it was. It got our team back together, which we've been wanting, and it felt so good to have them back and in agreement with each other and, you know, fist pumping each other. They're so happy to be back together, and it was so good to watch, to see them on screen together as a team, one last hurrah, and just go take this villain down, because it proved to them that they need to be a team to solve some problems that they can't handle one-on-one. So I absolutely loved it. And then you guys loved the opening, and I'm right with everybody about that. That opening sequence, it felt so cinematic, and I was having this feeling like, this is what all comic book TV shows should have done from the very beginning. It looked like an animated graphic novel that had come to life, and it really felt comic book like, and it really sucked me in, like, oh my god, like the comics are coming to life right here on the screen. This is, if they had started TV shows like this, I think we would have had even more of them and a lot more success than we've had, just because of the atmosphere created. It was just amazing. I can just picture that one day in the future, comic books will eventually have digital pages that do that, so that as you flip the page, you'll have a different motion graphic kind of happening. I mean, it just gave me all these good feelings. So I absolutely loved it. I give it 9.5. for the entire episode. It's one of the best ones of the season. I know you guys had a lot that you didn't like about it, but I'm countering you on that. I thought it was great.
Well, thank you for giving us your update, and thank you also for your kind words. We had a lot of fun on the podcast. I had a great time with Miss Jess, and I loved all the feedback we got last week as well. And of course, we missed having Mr. Flash around, but it was a fun little special celebration for the 150th to have special guests as well. And yes, a huge thank you to Jess, aka Harley, for doing a lot of the fun techie stuff behind the scenes to get our audio sounding flawless.
Yes. Ditto to all of that. So let's get into this episode. Today's episode, Star City Slayer. I also rated this one really high. I'm giving it a 9 arrow horror films. And I think we're pretty close in our ratings again.
Yeah, we are, Cammy. For sure.
I have not seen you rate it so high. I'm not going to give it away. But I haven't seen a high rating like this from you in a little while. But for me, this episode was freaky creepy on some kind of horror movie level. I want to give props to the director because they got your skin crawling with those creepy vibes. It was spooky and it really had a serial killer movie vibe to it, like whether Halloween or Friday the 13th. So it was wickedly done. I loved the change in the opening monologue from Oliver. The show is very on point with keeping that always current to the events that are happening on the show. And I really appreciate that little touch. You know, it's Stephen Amell re-recording it again every time there's major changes in the show. I just appreciate it. And it was cool to hear him update us with where things are at right now. If you're a new viewer coming on the show, it kind of catches you up real quick as to what the state of things are. And I also thought, man, we got a lot of answers to things that we've been wondering about this episode. And we're going to talk about them, I'm sure, but let's get to two of the shocks that I didn't see coming at all, and I'm sure you can guess which one affected me the most. That was seeing Dinah go down, getting her throat slashed. Holy crap! I did not expect that. I didn't see that coming. It had me on the edge of my seat, panicking in fear for her life. I mean, even though she's in the future, that we see that she's okay, I still am at this point in the episode, I didn't know if the future was changing as each episode goes on and they're doing things to affect the future. But what I eventually got to was that this happening to Dinah solidifies that the future sequences we're seeing could very well be a possible outcome, because this is the first sign of that future coming true. Is now we see why she has that scar on her throat, and we're going to get into that later. But the point being, I was so worried for her. It was horrifying for me because it was right out of a horror movie. And she got her throat slashed with nobody around. And you don't have a lot of time when you get cut that deep and your jugular and everything's bleeding. You don't have a lot of time to be saved. I just couldn't believe that they were possibly writing her off right there. That just, wow. Anyway, then coming after that, we lose two characters, which we'll talk about later on, but two characters in one episode, Curtis and William. I did not know there was plans for that, for those two guys to be leaving the show, whether it's permanent or a temporary leave of absence type of thing. I don't know, but it makes me wonder what the reasons are behind that right now at this point in the season. So, yeah. Crazy episode.
It was crazy. I think the big thing that everything in this episode comes down to is just the idea of reveals, which are so often saved in this show for the finales, the near finales, or the mid-season finales. And in this episode, they just gave so many to us, which I just thought was so fantastic. Yeah. Got us so pumped to see the rest of the season. And for almost every character and every storyline, we get a huge progression in this episode, which was just really fun. And I think it was smart as well, because a lot of those storylines, like you gave the example of Dinah sort of getting de-meta'd, right?
Yeah.
It, it gives us something to talk and think about. And her storyline so far this season has been a bit up and down. And there's been some points where they're writing to her strengths, and there's been some points where they're not doing her justice at all. And I think this gives us something new and fresh. I think with Curtis being sent off, it gives them the opportunity to do what they've done before, which is completely rethink his character. And if they do need to bring him back in the future, it can only be, you know, when it fits the story. They have the option. Yeah. We had reveals about what's going on with William and Zoe and JJ and Mia, the kids, and then we had reveals that tie to the adults and that Felicity is not dead. And, you know, we have questions about what's going on with Renee now in the future. And it's just so much kind of got handed to us. And then the villains on top of that, it was just a lot. So I just found that really exciting. I kind of jumped into my summary before my rating, but my rating was an 8.7 out of 10.
Woohoo! Cheers and fireworks are going off.
I know that's very high for me. You know, I sometimes with this show and a couple other shows I watch, I'll do these little live chats on YouTube afterwards and talk with other fans and kind of host a little after show. And, you know, right after the episode, you get people right when their emotions are high. And a lot of times you'll get, you know, particularly critical ratings or, you know, kind of mixed feelings. And this week's episode, you guys had so many 5 out of 5. So I'm getting the sense from that and from our Arrow Squad feedback that you guys are feeling pretty positive about this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been all over social media. And you gave away a lot of the reveals in your discussion.
Yeah, sorry.
Just now, but
spoiler alert.
No, the thing is that there was so many, and I think to go in line with what you're saying and why everyone liked this one is because they gave us so much, and it's the timing of what they gave, because we've had a lot of questions and we're trying to figure things out, and people were getting a little upset with some of the storylines not moving along, and as you said, they just basically jumped the gun on so many of them right now, and at a perfect time, because this is episode 13, it's halfway through the season. So what a great moment of timing to just kick things back into high gear and kick this show on a new, you know, high road again, and then see where we're going to go from here. I thought it was perfect. Right in the middle of the season, this is what you do. Mm-hmm.
I thought this really set them up well for that last stretch of, you know, the 7 or 8 episodes where we're really going to be constantly building towards the finale. This sets up all our plots to build. So I thought that was really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And then to add to that, to throw in a little tidbit of news in case no one knew about this yet, Arrow got renewed for a season 8. So at this point in the season, at episode 13, They're about 8 episodes ahead in filming, so they're probably just wrapping up, you know, episode 19, episode 20, and they've got a couple left. So this, with having that news, that allows them for the last 3 or 4 episodes to really come up with a good finale that can work into season 8. Now they don't have to worry about ending the show. Now they can finish it off with something, whether it's more cliffhangers or, you know, a new story, a new villain, whatever it is, they can do it properly, because this gives them, like I said, roughly around 3 episodes to end this season on to lead into season 8. So that's right. It's also really cool. It's exciting.
And it's exciting. I mean, I don't know that the renewal was ever really in question. We kind of knew the Arrow would get renewed, but it is exciting that we know that this creative team will get the chance to start another season from scratch with whatever villain and storyline they want. You know, they won't be tied to any past setup, which will be really fun and exciting to see, I think.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Do we have our usual pre-show feedback from Erin? She's back, I heard, last week.
She is back. So we did have, I think, a couple weeks where we didn't have Erin's comments on our blog, and this week we do.
Mm-hmm. What does she have to say? What are her points this week?
Sure. Well, giving just a high-level overview of her points, she says, Hey Harley, first of all, and also hashtag keep Black Siren evil. Those are her two leading bits. She also says that while she does agree with us that William was a bit of a jerk, she can't get too angry because there is some conflict with Oliver that's understandable. It was really the way that William talked to Felicity that got under her skin.
Yeah.
She agrees that she wishes they had explored more the idea of if vigilantes are heroes or not, especially considering that they were doing the confessional cam. And then she has some plot questions about how did they know Rory was Ragman to interview him? How did he get exposed? She agreed that Quentin's opening was fantastic, but she still has her, you know, little plug in there that Shady Siren is the best siren, and I have to say, I agree.
Yep. I agree with her, though. That something else I didn't mention was just having Lance back in there. It was so good to see Quentin again, and I'm pretty sure those are newly filmed sequences, it seemed like. It wasn't cut footage they reused. I think that was new.
Yeah. She also says that she doesn't think the William and Zoe friendship is out of nowhere. She says that the parents spend a lot of time together, so she's kind of on the side of that friendship. But she does also want to bring back baby Sarah and throw her in the mix with all of the future kids. She says there is footage of Emiko unmasked, but Oliver asked them to edit it out. So that's kind of a remaining question of whether Emiko is exposed or not. She has some theories about Black Star, which obviously we have some answers about that this week. And she ends that by saying she so hopes we'll get to see Felicity going all Mama Bear, calling out the school and giving them a piece of her mind if what happened was that William was kicked out for being gay, which is kind of the going theory that there's a lot of that going into the storyline and his whole coming out story and all of that. So she just throws in a plug for that. And thank you, Aaron. It was great to hear from you.
Yeah, thanks as always. And so you got some of your stuff answered this week. So I'll be curious to see what you think next week. But we'll talk about William and Curtis in our discussion points for sure. But shall we get into our favorite moments?
Yeah, I think we should.
All right. All right, it's kind of funny because once again I believe we picked the exact same moment, at least the same sequence, because I mean it was such an astounding piece of acting. And so I'll let you introduce that one. So I didn't want to just be stuck with one clip and to throw in another scene, and I don't have an audio clip for this, but I wanted to bring up the future fight that had Rory versus Connor and Dinah versus Black Star. I thought that was such a good fight, especially because we got to see Rory in action again and see that he still has the skills, even though he's supposed to be a little bit older. It was just fantastic seeing some of the moves he pulled off. And then the fight with Dinah and Black Star, like, I'll talk about her a little bit more later, but I was really surprised at how I'm almost the underdog Dinah looked versus her. I don't know if it's because Dinah was older and slowing down maybe, and, you know, Black Star is kind of the cage fighter, but there was a couple things in there I noticed that has me questioning Black Star and if she is just human or a little bit more evolved. We'll talk about that in a moment. But just something else I want to throw in here, because we've been ragging on poor Curtis all season, and we used to like him, and we're very upset with what they've done with him this season. And this apparently is his swan song episode, like I mentioned on social media, which we'll get to. I want to honor him with one little moment that kind of brought me back to the original Curtis that we all liked, when he used to be funny and used to say things in the moment that weren't sounding forced. They were actually funny. And they had a scene like that in here again. And it was when they were going into the Slayer's home base kind of thing, and they decided to split up. There was just a moment in there for Curtis that I felt brought it back around to when we used to like him. So here's that scene.
You were saying, Renee?
Curtis, Renee, you take upstairs. Me and Dinah will secure down here.
Split up? Have you guys never seen a horror movie before? Wait, Renee.
And that was it. It actually made me laugh. Because
haven't you ever seen a horror movie before?
Exactly. Split up. That was good old Curtis again. And so I'm glad they kind of somehow found a way to bring him back. And not, I didn't find I was annoyed with him this episode at all, which is good for being his last episode, I guess. It's just nice to send him off on a moment like that and not being annoyed and, oh, I'm glad he's gone and whatever, which I'm sure a lot of people are going to feel anyway, but I didn't get that feeling this episode, so.
Yeah, I just wish Curtis had been written better in quite a lot of the time that we had with him, but I thought the send-off for him was perfect. Mm-hmm. I thought that the writing for him this episode was the best it's been in a while. His motivation for leaving was tied to a character-based morality, which made sense. He's going off to do ongoing successful things. He's not dead. They could bring him back anytime it fits the story. And they had him on screen acknowledge that the company's now Felicity. So I think they wrapped it up really nicely for him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Did you see it coming, Cammie? I had no idea. I did not see.
Well, we've been talking for a while that the writing for him has been questionable, and a lot of people, myself included, when they had the sort of fake-off killing him, you know, really thought they might have done that, since they have seemed to run the full course of his storyline and then some. And they made some pretty, you know, questionable choices with the storylines for all three members of NTA there for a while. And for Dinah and Renee, they've put in a lot of time trying to kind of bring it back around. For Renee, it's kind of worked. For Dinah, I think we've had our ups and downs with it. And with Curtis, they really just haven't put in that work. And they've kind of reduced him to comic relief, which is just unfortunate because of the potential for his character. I would say there was way more potential for him than any other member of NTA. And they used none of it. However, the send-off was good. So for this episode, it's okay.
Yeah, I got one more thought about him. We'll get into it later. But what I want you to do is introduce this next favorite moment that we both selected because, wow, oh wow, this guy deserves an Emmy nod at least for this crazy-ass psycho serial killer. Holy cow, don't ever be stuck in a room with him when you can't move.
Right?
Wow.
We had Stan return, and he did such a fantastic job. He was creepy. He seemed unsettled and unpredictable. He seemed violent, both physically and mentally. It was just, it was an incredible performance. It was the kind of performance we got from Prometheus in the end of season 6. It was that level of buildup and instability, but with Stan, it kind of had to come from nowhere. You know, we had a bit of build up, and along the way, we were kind of theorizing that he was a villain, and you had your back and forths on that. But it didn't become a true build up to where we saw the full shift. It was a switch that was flipped pretty much, and we got to see this crazy side of him, which was just incredible. And he did such a good job. Oliver and Felicity did a fantastic job, or Stephen and Emily, I suppose, did a fantastic job in this scene, just seeming paralyzed and in terror. And I'm excited to hear the audio all over again.
Yeah. And it goes on for quite a while. So I pulled kind of the last part of it where he really goes off the wall. And we'll talk about more after. But here it is.
I needed to correct him.
You killed your own brother.
I didn't have a choice. If he just listened to me, then I wouldn't have had to do it, and none of this would have happened. But I'm starting to think that you're not listening to me either, Oliver. I can tell. And you should have apologized to me for being mean to me at Slapside, but you haven't. So I'm starting to think that you're just like everybody else, and you don't deserve my protection.
I'm sorry that you feel that way, Stanley.
You're exactly like your father, Stanley.
You're wrong. I'm nothing like him.
All right, you're right. You're worse. You're the Star City Slayer.
Don't hurt your sister, William.
Oh man, I got goosebumps up my back from that.
Just incredible. I love that scene. And there were many good scenes to pick from this episode, so that speaks highly of this one.
Yeah, way to go on that guy's part. And we'll talk about him a little bit more coming up, but let's get into your discussion points.
Yeah, so for my first discussion point, I've already touched on this a little bit, but I just thought we needed a full category just for the reveals, because there was a lot revealed this episode. We had Stan back, and Stan being the big villain, Felicity's alive, Black Star is Mia Smoke, JJ is Connor Hawk, which is not a huge reveal, I suppose, to those who watch Legends. Curtis is leaving, William is leaving, Felicity is pregnant, Dinah doesn't have powers. Is there anything I'm missing? It was just so much. What did you think?
I think that about covers it. I mean, talk about big changes all in one episode. Holy cow. They revealed so much. And like I said in my opening monologue, they just gave us answers. And in responding to yours, like it just kicked off this last half of the season with so much more vigor and renewed energy again. Even though this season hasn't really been lacking, it's just like, wow, look at them. They're just throwing massive, you know, reveal pitches at us, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Did you find any the most shocking, or were there any that kind of surprised you? You never saw it coming?
Well, all right, this is, if shocking reveals, to me, like, not even in the list that you mentioned here, I would say that the two characters leaving the show is what I didn't see coming. I mean, going back to Curtis, Echo Callum on social media was saying that this episode means a lot to him, but I didn't know why. I just thought, oh, maybe he's going to get finally a good episode. It's going to focus on him and bring his character to the forefront, and we're going to be happy with Curtis again. That's what I thought. No inkling at all that he was leaving the show. And it made me wonder if he got written out because the writers didn't have anything more for him, and they just needed to write him out, or did he ask to leave due to his character not going anywhere? Because a lot of times actors do that. They're like, you know what? I've got nowhere to go here. I'm not being used. I'm not progressing. I'm kind of done. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody has news or behind-the-scenes info on that, but I'm curious about that. And then with William, I mean, that to me was a surprise, because he hasn't been with us at all this season. He's only come back the last two episodes, and boom, they write him out. So that surprised me. I think that was the biggest shock, because for having a kid on the episode when he first got introduced, none of us were comfortable with it. But he grew on all of us, and we actually were like, wow, this kid's actually really good. And he brings a lot of family feel to the show, which the Queen family's been missing. And we got to see a new family emerging with Felicity, Oliver, and William. And so for them to bring him back and then get rid of him in two episodes, it just surprised me. And then they did it without giving us the answer to that future question. Like, in the future timelines, he keeps saying, they abandoned me. Well, they didn't. In this episode, they didn't. They fought for him to stay, and he said, no, I want to go. I'm going to go live with my grandparents so I can have a normal life. So what are we missing? They didn't answer that question yet. Does it come later in the storyline? Is William going to come back again, you know, 10 episodes from now? Or we don't know.
I was really sad about William leaving, because while I know there's the possibility of him returning by the end of the season, and that could be very heartwarming if he makes that choice, and he's young, and he's still, you know, growing as a person, and he's going to make choices to be closer or further from his parents, and it's normal for teens to fight with their parents. I get it. I get all of that.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
I think the fights with Oliver, the resistance to Oliver in particular, makes sense for William, considering the baggage that they both have and the difference in their personalities, and the fact that Oliver hasn't had the opportunity to grow as a father alongside William, so he's kind of thrust into this without the prior experience.
Yeah.
However, William and Felicity had bonded very well and very quickly, and I guess that's the part that seems to get under my skin, or other people's skins as well, judging by the feedback, that he kind of lumps Felicity in with it and doesn't seem to, I guess appreciate or understand what all she's done for him. But once again, I understand that's a teenager thing. So.
Yeah, bratty little poop. What I did like, though, is that they told us that Oliver has been in touch with him all this time by calling him at school. Which, because we've been questioning, why isn't anybody asking about William? Why don't we have any inkling of what's happening with him? And they just kind of, they answered that in a real quick thing, you know, when Oliver said, oh, I call you all the time, what do you mean? And that was that, so that answered that real quick. But I think another shock, I think for me, of course, was seeing Dinah go down, like I'd already said. I think that shocked me more than anything. I didn't expect the reveal of how she got the scar in the future timelines to come this early in this timeline. I thought that was something maybe a lot farther down the road. So to have it happen now and to reveal where she gets the scar from really shocked me. And I mean, we still don't know 100% concretely if she can't scream. I think we're all guessing that she can no longer scream because we haven't seen her. But if she can't, to me, like, wow, this is very early in the timeline of the show to take our canary scream away. So that is the biggest shock to me.
Yeah, I think that what they really want us to be considering when it comes to things that we see present day that are reflected in the future is that this is a possible future. That's something that the creative minds behind this seem to be continually stressing. So when we see William in the future saying that his parents left him and he never saw them again, it's different from the reality that we're seeing. And when we see Mia Smoke refer to herself as Felicity's daughter, when we know she's Oliver and Felicity's kid, and she's probably Mia Smoke Queen, she just has an anti-Oliver agenda, probably, understandably, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're seeing those in the future sort of rewrite or hide the past. So with what's happening with Dinah and getting her powers taken, we're seeing this possible future of what could happen because of it, but we haven't yet had the opportunity to hear her explain it, and it may or may not match what we've seen in the present, which in that case would be the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's jump into our next question, which is, of the ones that you could have not known, so not including Connor Hawke, which of course you are familiar with because you've seen Legends, which ones did you feel like you already knew in advance?
Well, see, I think there's a lot of Arrow viewers that don't watch Legends, so there's probably quite a few of them out there that were surprised by that reveal, which is cool for them, so I'm happy for them. But we all guessed that the note lever, as I coined him, was Stan, so to me that wasn't very surprising. Everyone had kind of figured that one out. Everyone also assumed Black Star is Olicity's kid, so that also wasn't a very big reveal to me. And what I liked, though, is that it was a great tie-in with the two timelines hinting at Felicity being pregnant in this one, which was kind of a reveal. That one, you know, we all kind of guessed that.
We theorized about it a little bit.
Yeah, we theorized about it. And there was a lot of fan talk about it. A lot of fans were guessing. You know, you and me maybe didn't say so much about it, but there were a lot of fans guessing. So that was already in the minds of the viewers that it's probably their daughter. But revealing that Felicity was pregnant now, I think, was a cool reveal, and it like I said, it just ties in the current timeline and the future timeline. That was a really great way to tie them together. And like I said, this episode's more than any we've had before, where we're questioning, is this a possible future? There's so many little connections this time around that are making that future timeline seem like it actually is going to come true. But with Dinah's throat, and now with Felicity being pregnant, there's a lot of things that are starting to weave them together and make them one solid storyline. So we're going to have to see if we continue to get more of that.
Yeah, there's a bit of a ripple of things that do and do not match the present and the future. So it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You mentioned our speculation on Felicity being pregnant. And of course, I've kind of mentioned that maybe a few times on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's sick of hearing about that. But I thought that was really exciting and well-timed, and hopefully that will be part of what brings William back as well. So we really get to see a true growing queen family. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I was left wondering, with all of these reveals, is there anything left to reveal this season? Or are they going to have to build up more mysteries leading up to the finale?
Well, I mean, sticking on Felicity for a second, I mean, we all were guessing that she's not dead, even though they were heavily pushing for her to be dead in the future. So I'd have to say maybe that was the most surprise reveal, because of how hard they were pushing that she wasn't, or that she was dead and now she wasn't. That was a nice little shock when to have Blackstar say she's not dead. That was kind of cool. But I mean, we also got the answer to what the Archer program is. And I really like that, because it's a surveillance system for the city. Because you and me have been discussing, what is the Archer program? They keep talking about it, and they've never actually explained it. And if it was
based out of Felicity's invention that she's working on present day.
Exactly.
So house, they
confirmed that, and that was nice. I thought it was very cool. Then last week, it was questioned if the city knows the whole team's identities. You and Harley were talking about that, and we find out this episode that they do. Everyone is now in the open, so that really brings a lot of questions into play about the team. They're all working for the police. Everybody knows who they are. Well, you can't go back on that. This isn't Legends of Tomorrow. They don't have little mind wipe flashy devices or anything. So from here, this point going forward, everybody knows who our heroes are. So that's a real change. That's a huge, you know, intersection in the storyline for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else there is to reveal. Like, to answer your question head on, what was left? Really, we got a lot of answers this episode.
Yeah, I imagine they'll have to build up the sort of new mysteries, at which point those mysteries might be cliffhangers, and they'll have the opportunity to end the season with cliffhangers, knowing there'll be another season, of course, and answer those in sort of a fresh slate type of season. So I think the pacing of this is fast but good, so it's really exciting.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to bring up and talk about a little bit was the little cameo we had by Captain Singh from Flash.
Yeah.
That was great fun to see, because for me, what that does is it really connects the DC TV worlds in a way that the superhero crossovers, the big mashups, don't do. Because for me, it's the support characters that bring life to these shows. It kind of grounds them in reality, because these guys don't have powers. They're just regular people with regular jobs working in the city. So when you see them crossing back and forth, it really gives a sense of reality and making it feel more real, more lifelike, because there's interactions between these characters behind the scenes, and we get to see a little bit of it. I thought it was very, very cool, and it also tied Dinah's backstory, kind of brought it around full circle, because they talked about her being a detective for Central City Police, and it brought a lot of that full circle, and like I said, it grounds the show in reality more than when we have the big superhero team-ups. And I really like that.
Yeah, it was a really thoughtful integration across shows. It wasn't just a random, we're going to stick this character in to be best friends with this character. They really thought through that, and I thought it was a nice addition, and it's a good way to work in a crossover without it being a full crossover episode. It just reminds you that the worlds are connected.
Yeah, and the cities talk to each other. It's like, because a lot of times you feel like, when you're watching a show, Arrow is all about Star City and Flash is all about Central City. It seems like that's the only city in the world. Nothing else, and except when they do their big stupid global storylines. But it seems like everything is just all about that city, which is fine, because that hero belongs to that city and they're protecting that city. But they don't ever really expand beyond that and talk about things beyond their own city. So doing something like this, it's like, yeah, Star City and Central City, they keep in touch, they exchange information, you know, villains might move from town to town, whatever. It like I said, it brings realism, and I really appreciated it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've talked enough about heroes. I think we need to get to the villains. And in terms of villains, like we talked about before, a lot of progress is made. We learn Stan is back, and he's the author of all things creepy that we've been wondering about, who's sending those notes. What do you think of our new big bad? Do you think he is the new big bad for the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, we talked a lot about him in our favorite scenes. I mean, like, the guy, what a performance. Like we said already, he did so good. And I liked that it was a very personal attack on Oliver, his family, and the team. And it's based on what happened in the prison, which ties into everything we taught. Everyone, you know, a lot of people thought Stan was the big, whatever the character's name was for the prison, who ran the prison. And it turns out he wasn't. But it was a very personal connection to Oliver, because he wanted to be Oliver's friend. He wanted to be his buddy. And, you know, he was kind of obsessed with him, kind of like, you know, just a big fan. And I'm like, hey, I get to be Oliver Queen's friend. He's the Green Arrow. This is great. But Oliver, he took the way Oliver reacted to him, Stan didn't take too kindly, because he's a little messed up in the head. So having him go after the team and go after his family, I thought, is a very strong personal story, and it makes for a great villain when it's always personal like that. Now, I'm not sure if he's the new big bad for this season. I don't know, because it's a great story. He makes a perfect psycho serial killer, like the way he ascended to becoming who he was in this episode. It's very realistic. If you're into serial killers in our own history, you know, the bad people that we've had, if you're into that kind of morbid stuff, very similar backgrounds. You know, he has such a good story with what happened to his parents and how they treated him. That's the kind of stuff that makes people snap and become these kind of villains and real life serial killers. So the writing for him was so fantastic.
I love that they've integrated a reasonable backstory for him that actually makes sense, not necessarily as justification, but as an explanation, because that was definitely what was missing with Dragon. So having this baton sort of passed in this way, and seeing maybe a similar concept of childhood tragedy, but executed just so much better this time around, and so much better at a faster pace as well, was so exciting. Especially coming after this sort of long, drawn-out sequence of, we've had Dragon, and then the Longbow Hunters, and prior to Dragon, we had Sword of Dragon, but he was part of another team. There's just... it's been pretty convoluted, and they've tried to tie all the villains together, and you had Siren and Anatoly on the team, but they were separate teams and all of that. And here we have a clear villain with a clear story that's not tied to others, and I'm loving it.
Okay, but here's why I think he's not the new main baddie. We got his prison storyline to set him up, and then he comes back in this one episode. I mean, he was leaving the notes in a previous episode, but he comes back in this episode, and they kind of wrapped it up. It got to a peak, to a climax. Oliver broke through, smashed him over the head with a bottle, knocked him out. They sent him back to prison. To me, it's a closed and shut case and a closed storyline. I don't think Stan is enough. Okay, Star City could have a serial killer, but there's no way he could, you know, one-on-one, he can't fight any of our heroes. I mean, even Curtis could take him down. He's not someone that could stand up to our team to be the new bad guys. He is a bad guy, but he can't be the baddie of the last half of the season. There's just not enough to him. He's a great character, but there's not enough of a character to make a great baddie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose we'll see. The bar is set pretty low, I think, for villains this season. So I'll take what they give us, but they may be wrapping him up and giving us something else to lead into the finale. I don't know.
Yeah.
And in terms of future speculation, we can transition to the future section. I almost had a really good transition there.
You still nailed it, though. You're getting very, very good at the segues. It's awesome.
Thank you. I try. So this episode had a heavy focus on kids in the future and kids in the future. Mm-hmm. And in present day, there's a clear conflict with William. We see Zoe training with her aunt Dino, which is so cute. In the future, we see the reveal of JJ being Connor Hawk. We see Mia Smoke is actually Black Star. William Queen gets to find out about all that. We know Zoe's in the future. That's already been revealed. So what are your thoughts on this impending future? And are any of these kids stories that you are particularly invested in or not so much?
You know, it kind of felt very Young Justice to me, if anyone knows the cartoon. It just had,
yeah.
I mean, it had all the sidekicks getting together, and it just felt like a live-action Young Justice, like the early beginnings of it. So that was kind of fun, just feeling that kind of atmosphere developing. I mean, Roy was kind of, would be to me, kind of like the leader, kind of like the Nightwing type character in the cartoon. He was always older than everyone else and had the more experience, so he kind of led the way a little bit into season two of the cartoon. So I kind of felt like that's where Roy would fit in here. And I'm kind of interested in all of them. I think, and this is what I was saving for from earlier, Black Star, I'm intrigued by her because in that fight with Dinah, she seemed stronger than the average human. She was tossing Dinah around pretty good a couple times, and I don't mean just flipping her over a shoulder. There was like one sequence especially where she tossed Dinah like clearly across the room, and I don't care who you are, no woman or man can throw somebody like that. So I'm curious, is there more to her? I mean, Felicity and Oliver are both regular human beings, so is there something more? I don't know a lot about the Black Star character, so I wonder if there's something more to her that the show is putting in. Maybe she's got some, you know, through technology from Felicity, maybe she's got enhancements or something to make her stronger, but it just seemed like she was a little too strong for a normal human being. That's what I'm curious about.
It would be interesting to see her either be a meta through tech or a meta through, you know, she comes into contact with matter and, you know, there's some sort of backstory to that. If I could pick one, I think I'd pick the tech side, some sort of chip enhancement that maybe Felicity worked on.
Yeah, which would make sense, right? And then, I mean, this is the Connor Hawk from the Legends episode, I think.
Right.
I'm thinking it is. It definitely it's the same actor, it's the same feel for the character. So what I'm wondering about, because we've been wondering about the timeline and where in the future this is taking place. And I think that this future timeline is before the Legends timeline, and it's all connected. I think it could all be connected. I think this is the beginning of Connor Hawk. We see this young team coming together, and whatever's going to happen with them is going to lead to Connor becoming the new Arrow eventually. I have a feeling it's connected. A lot of people are writing off the Legends episode that it doesn't mean anything, but it seems so similar. In the Legends episode, Star City was in flames and in, you know, just torn apart. Well, in this future timeline, Star City pretty much is done, and the Glades are what is the shining golden city right now. So I'm starting to see things connect, which would be really, really cool if it does lead to that kind of future. And maybe if we get Oliver and we see in the future and we see how he loses his arm, then you know for sure it's all connected. And that would be fantastic if the writers went that way.
I don't know if I want it to be connected or not. It's possible they will, and they'll create an explanation for the areas where it was different. But I do kind of like the idea of multiple possible futures, just so that we're not inadvertently spoiling present day, of course, similar to my argument against the possibilities on Gotham. And multiple possible futures allows for just a greater variety of what each character can play. We can see a future version of a given character who becomes awful and villainous, or a future version of a character who is a meta, a future version who's, you know, has a wonderful life and is a great person, you know. So I kind of like that option, but I'm open to multiple possible solutions if they are done well.
Yeah, and then the one last little bit would be with William. He seems to be a lot more like Felicity, kind of the tech head, the smart computer genius. So he's not, I see him, if this is a new team coming together of all the young guys, I see him being in Felicity's role.
Yeah, I would see William as Felicity's role of being sort of the voice of reason, the one who's not rushing in to kill people helter-skelter unless the demand is for it.
Yeah.
JJ, I haven't seen enough of him to really be able to pinpoint who he is.
Well, he fights Roy pretty good, so he's obviously skilled and trained by somebody.
I'm you see him as the future Oliver, right?
Yeah.
And that leaves Mia Smoke or Mia Queen, whichever one she wants to go by, as the future Tickle. Huh. Okay. I like the team. I can get behind this.
Or the, I mean, look at her attitude. She could be the future Renee with how she was kind of, she had kind of the same attitude, right? So we'll have to see. Yeah. Interesting.
Miss Black Star does not deserve that slander.
Well, the way I look at those, because William, in finding out that she's his sister, that's what's going to trigger William to want to do something in the future and be and come back and be part of this team and whatever. That's what I think the trigger is going to be. So we'll have to see what they do with it from this point forward with the storylines. I think we're going to get a lot more in that aforementioned entire episode that is just future storyline. I mean, that should be really revealing as well.
Yeah, I think so as well. A lot of it does come down to speculation, which I think is interesting because I kind of led this episode by saying that so much has been revealed. I almost don't know what we still have questions about. And here we are at the end with just as many questions. Well, Mr. Flash, I think we should get into some transmissions.
Let's do it. All right. We often leave her to the end. I want to start with Green Butterfly this week, just because. She sent us an email.
I would like that as well. Would you like to start by
sure.
reading her email?
I'll start off. Like okay. She says, "Hi, this is your Eye in the Sky Green Butterfly. OMG, what a crazy episode. Cammy, did you check on Flash? I think when Dinah stops breathing, Flash does. I need to call Patty Spivot and make sure he had made it through the episode." Yes, Justina. Yeah, I was on the edge of my seat, barely able to take a breath. That scared me. As she goes on, "I think based on life in Star City, perhaps it is the right choice to have William in Central City, but I wish that wasn't the case because I like watching Oliver and Felicity balancing hero stuff and parent stuff. I hope that this is still part of the story once in a while." Yeah, that's we're going to lose a lot of family stuff with William being gone, and we're obviously not going to get Reza anymore either, with William not being there.
Yeah, I hope when William comes back, we do see Reza back again. Mm-hmm. I missed her last week, as I mentioned.
As she goes on, "Kat McNamara is rocking this role. I wanted her to be Elicity's kid, so I am happy. But the adult William doesn't look old enough to make the timeline work. But I will superhero handwave as long as Maya, saying her last name, is Smoke doesn't mean an Elicity divorce. Other someone will have to check on Green Butterfly." That's, I'm guessing she obviously has a fallout with her father or whatever. They obviously have some kind of argument. That's my guess why she's going with the Smoke last name. As she finishes off, 9 out of 10 smooth bottle moves. Have a super week. Love, Green Butterfly.
Oh, it's so good to hear from her. I know we don't always get to hear from her every week, and I'm happy she's back and writing in again.
Yeah. Thanks, as always. Next up is an email from Christy. You can take this one.
Sure. So Christy writes in. She says, "When Curtis first mentioned his job offer in DC, I said to myself, yes, please take that job in DC. But by the end of the episode, I realized I might actually miss his character, especially since he seemed to be written well this episode." Aww, yeah. She thinks as we think. "It's a shame that the last two seasons, they just made me irritated with him and completely abandoned the way he was when he was first introduced. Also, the show does have too many characters. Someone is always sidelined or off-screen, and this helps with that problem."
Yeah, like Siren was this week.
She wasn't there, was she?
Nope. Hmm. But I guess that made room for them to get rid of two characters and give them a bit of screen
time. Do you want to know why Siren wasn't there? I can tell you why she wasn't there.
Why?
It was because in the last two episodes, they've made great strides in redeeming her, and it's exactly as we've been saying for the last, I don't know, season and a half. If they redeem Black Siren, she becomes useless. They redeemed her. She's now useless. They can sideline her without us noticing. Okay. Next, Christy says, I totally forgot that Captain Singh would have been Dinah's boss. Nice to see that kind of coordination between shows.
See?
I could barely watch during the entire haunted house scenes. Curtis even pointed out how stupid it was to split up. Yet we ended up with Dinah on her own in the basement as bait for Stanley. Ugh. I did not think Dinah would lose her cry this early in the timeline.
Yeah.
Also, I hate that she's lost it at all, especially in a way that could have been easily avoided. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stanley was absolutely terrifying and unhinged. Such a stark contrast to his personality in prison, where we thought he was just a fan, but now his obsession ran deep. His annoyance with the name Star City Slayer was weirdly comical, because it's literally his fault that people call him that.
You know, it just hit me. He has his own theme song already, and, you know, the Eminem, Stan the Fan.
She says, I teared up when Oliver said goodbye to William. Good acting from Steven, and I don't blame William at all for wanting to leave. I, too, would peace out after being held at knife point and rendered motionless by my dad's crazed stalker. This was always my issue with bringing kids onto the show. It's just not the right environment for raising a child, especially when you consider how many times their home has been broken into over the years. I'm now very concerned that Oliver is indeed dead in the future. Mia introduced herself as Felicity's daughter, not Oliver and Felicity's daughter. Also, after the events of the crossover, where Oliver may or may not have struck a deal, which includes sacrificing himself, Felicity had to become pregnant pronto in order for Mia to be their daughter, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Ooh, some good points put together there. Some good dots connected.
Well, she brought something up we should talk about just for a moment, and that is the performances of Oliver and Felicity in that scene. What I liked about Oliver is when he was paralyzed, like the anger you could see in his face and the complete disregard for Stanley and his story, and just he felt nothing for Stanley. You could see how pissed off he was getting, and yet acting that out and keeping completely still to be paralyzed. What a phenomenal job by Stephen Amell. And then at the same time, as she mentioned, saying goodbye to William, that actually was a really touching moment. I think William, that the kid playing William maybe didn't, that this is where he got out acted big time, because Felicity and Oliver were really emotional, and it was a good scene for those two as actors.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our next one is a voicemail from Jeff, X-Force 11.
It is, and here he is.
Hello, squad. This is Jeff, X-Force 11. I enjoyed several aspects of this story. I like the future flash forward that we actually got some answers with these two groups coming together, and also finding out that, yes, this is Oliver and Felicity's daughter, and she took her mom's last name. So that's interesting. Maybe so that she could get the funds from Smoke Tech? I just don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here. We're starting to pull the things together with Dinah losing her cry, potentially. And I'm still hoping we can change this future, but I'm liking where we're going. All right, X-Force 11 out.
Yeah, see, he's also picking up on the timeline starting to connect, and this one could be very possibly the true timeline.
It could be.
That's still the big question, the big mystery. Is it possible? Are we seeing the actual future? Don't know. Thank you, as always, good buddy Jeff. Next up is an email from Carrie Johnson, and he says, So, Let me start off with what I truly loved about this episode. The explosive, emotional, and raw exchanges and conversations between William and Oliver were done incredibly well. If this show were real life, we would all have trouble understanding how two people who live the lives that Oliver and Felicity live would be able to create a normal, sustainable life for William. And when you pair that with how Samantha tried to raise William away from such calamity, it made absolute sense that her parents would come running to step in when William called. Oliver, after seeing the pain his own father wrought through abandonment, was dead set against letting William go. But, true to his quest to be a better father to William than Robert was to him, Oliver gave William a choice, something Robert never gave Oliver when he saddled him with his demons and his quest to right his wrongs. Yes, good points. By letting go and offering William a choice, Oliver held on to his promise to be a better father to William. That is more important than Ollie's quest to save his city. Parenthetically, well, I've never seen that word before, I could question why Oliver didn't give up being the Green Arrow in order to just be a father to William, because with a team of vigilante police helpers, he could totally do that now. I guess, but we've seen him kind of give up that role before, and it's not fun for the TV show. Now, let's talk about what I don't like. This episode dealt with a lot of revelations, but I'm not sure that they were handled in a way I appreciated. The revelation that Stan was the Slayer, and that JD was Connor Hawk, and that Blackstar was Felicity's daughter could be projected a mile away. Yet, I felt that the show dealt with those revelations as surprises when they were not. To be fair, Stan did get some backstory as to how and why his crazy arse became the Slayer, but I think a better reveal for Connor and Maya would have been to treat their identities not as a surprise, but as an opportunity to tell their narrative in much the same way the show did with Emiko. I don't think they needed a full episode to focus on Connor and Maya's backstory, but I think focusing on why they are the way they are, anti-vigilantes, is more important than focusing on who they are. Telling their story would also provide some insight on what happened with Diggle and Lila, and even Ollie. Maybe the showrunners are saving that for other episodes, such as the All Flashback ep. Finally, the revelation that Felicity is alive is not surprising. You don't kill Felicity Smoke off-screen. Lastly,
that's right.
Yeah, see, I mean, everything he's saying here is exactly how I responded to you asking me if any of the reveals were a surprise. He's feeling exactly what I was feeling. None of them really were. So I'm glad, it's good to hear that he's tuned in like that as well. Lastly, Curtis, I love Echo Kellum, but the Curtis character became too much of a joke. He would fit much better on Legends. He and Gideon could have great dialogue. Actually, yeah, that's a good idea. I'm sure me and Jess would love to have him come over onto our show. Anyway, you know what? And actually, he says he's going to a government job. Maybe the government job is being on the Wave Rider. That'd be kind of cool. Anyway, he finishes off. I like the episode enough. By the way, the show is called Arrow. Can I get Ollie back to kicking ass in the suit, please? Yeah, they've gone away from that a little bit again. I agree with you there. Anyways, thanks for your hard work and providing a forum to those who love the show. Your efforts are appreciated, and welcome back from Lee on You, Flash. Aw, thanks. Gary, yeah, that was kind of funny. I think it was on Facebook or something. He made a crack that when I posted my Mexico pictures, which if you guys haven't seen yet, to show you where I was, go to the Aero Squad Facebook page. I posted a bunch of my holiday excursions with me and Babby Spivet, so you can enjoy that. But he had made a crack about me being gone and Lee and you as where I could have possibly been. So that's kind of fun. So thanks for the welcome back, Gary.
Always good to hear from him. He always has such great points as well. So his analysis of the difference between the types of reveals they did and which ones were treated like true reveals, I thought that was really, really spot on.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Next up, you now should know her voice pretty well. It is Harley sending us a voicemail, which she doesn't get in very often, so this is cool.
Hey, Aero Squad, this is Harley Quinn calling in to give some feedback on the Star City Slayer. Holy jokers, man, that was a creepy, creepy episode, and I loved it, naturally. The music, oh my gosh, that alone had me on the edge of my seat pretty much the entire episode. I think overall I'd give this episode 9 predictable storylines because I did feel that most of the storylines you could very, very easily see where they were going. It was pretty obvious once William's grandparents showed up that he had called them to say, hey, come and get me because I can't live, you know, with Oliver and Felicity. I definitely, especially after talking with Cammy last week, was on the Mia is Oliver and Felicity's daughter, so that was not a surprise at all. But it's satisfying. I rated this a 9. I downed it a 1 point, probably because I didn't have many surprises this episode. Of course, the reveal of Stanley being the Star City Slayer and being the person who is after Oliver, again, no surprises there. But it was a great story. It was incredibly well acted. Oh my gosh. And the guy that they got to play Stanley was amazing. I absolutely loved what he did with it. He plays super crazy, super well. and then I will say the one thing that completely surprised me, only because I did not expect it to happen so early, was that Dinah's throat got slit. We had all been speculating about where that was coming from and when it was going to happen, and I did not think that was going to happen this early. So, I don't know, it's interesting to see. I really want to believe that what we're seeing is a possible future and not the future, but, you know, there's a lot of things leaning towards it could be the future. But then again, I mean, I find it hard to believe that Felicity just now finds out she's pregnant, doesn't say a thing to Oliver about it, but I don't know, maybe her and Oliver had some sort of falling out, maybe Oliver really does die in crisis, but I did think it was interesting that Mia goes by Mia Smoke and not Mia Queen. So anyway, looking forward to the podcast. Welcome back, Flash. We missed you, but thanks for letting me crash the podcast last week. I had a blast. Talk to y'all later. Bye.
you're welcome, Harley, and thanks again. I sense a theme here with her awesome feedback. There was no surprise to any of the reveals here, and I'm starting to think now after listening to her that maybe the showrunners were like, you know what, everyone's figured it out, let's just get it out of the way so that people don't think we think they're stupid. Let's just do all the reveals in one episode, get them done, and because that there's no shock, there's no surprise, people have figured it out. Maybe that's all they did, is just get it out of the way.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, with how far the show is written and filmed in advance, of course, they would have had to write and film this far before any of us are speculating, except for maybe the Felicity pregnancy one. I may have been speculating about that far enough in advance.
Yeah, well, and with the show writers, I mean, they may have wrote themselves into this corner as well. They may have just realized, damn it, you know what? We kind of gave it away already. Let's just get it out of the the reveal's done. But who knows? I mean, it kind of felt like that. Now that I'm hearing how many people are like, this wasn't a shock at all, I have a feeling that's what it was. Then the other thing, though, is that another recurring theme I'm hearing is nobody expected Dinah's throat to get cut here. So yeah, that was the biggest shock of the episode.
I don't know. I mean, now that we have Siren back and sort of redeemed and she's a meta, we do have overlap of characters at this point, so changing Dinah's power and presence, I suppose, makes sense. And of course, they hinted at in the future. But from a plot perspective, yeah, they've got some overlap here that they need to address. And they've addressed the Curtis overlap, where they eventually grew him to be sort of a bargain brand Felicity or something eventually over time. And he had to leave, and you know, now that they went the route of redeeming Siren, they really do need to think critically about how they're portraying both Siren and Dinah. And I think they're trying to portray them as having different personalities, and they have strikingly different personalities, but it's a bit more to that. They can have the same, but they can have different personalities and still fill the same plot function. And as they've changed Siren, she's gotten closer and closer to the plot function of Dinah. So I think making at least one of them not a meta will address that partially.
Okay, but seriously, you choose Dinah to take out of the action? Like, hello, none of us want...
Well, they're not taking her out of the action. If you remember, Green Arrow does not have meta powers, and it's his show. So I think this is the kind of show that really does elevate humans. Our three key heroes, Oliver, Diggle, and Felicity, all do not have meta powers and don't seek meta powers. So by taking out her powers, it's definitely making Dinah a better candidate for Team Arrow. Renee as well, who they're going above and beyond to try to make him seem like the next leader of Team Arrow. He also doesn't have powers. This isn't a show that elevates that. And
no.
When she was back in the Flash Police Department, she was in a city that did elevate meta powers, and that's no longer the case. So this is part of her progression within this sort of dark, gritty human world of Arrow.
I still disagree. This is Dinah, the Black Canary. She's a meta. She has her scream. You cannot have a Black Canary without her scream. You cannot have Dinah without her scream. Siren is from Earth 2. She's not even a true character to the storyline. She does not need to be the one to keep the scream. They should remove it from her. Let her be the DA. Let her be redeemed. Whatever. I don't care. Don't take Dinah's power away. Now she's just going to be a police captain. Yeah, it could do a lot for her story, her character, whatever, but you can't take the Black Canary's cry away from her. It doesn't make any sense. It's not. Black Canary's always been part of the Green Arrow mythos and storyline. She doesn't use her scream all that often. She only uses it as a last resort. She's always been known, even in the Young Justice cartoon. She's the one that trains all of them in the hand-to-hand combat because she's known as the Justice League's best hand-to-hand fighter. So she doesn't use her scream until she needs to. You can't take that from her. I don't like this route they're taking. I hope at this point in time, I'm hoping the future timeline is not a possibility. If it's revealed that she can't scream, because it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. And you can't do that to the Black Canary and the Dinah character. Anyway, well, let's go on. You can read this next one. It's we got a new email from Comic Geek Kev.
Sure. So Comic Geek Kev writes in saying, "Hey squad, first I think it's time for these shows to stop doing the intro monologue. I'm sure there's some technical name, but it's the I am insert superhero name. I get doing it for the first season of the shows, but after that it's just a bit much for me and it always sounds so cheesy. I guess the question of whether the deputizing of everyone would result in being exposed is answered, but this makes the future story even more mysterious. Mia said vigilantes ruined the city, but aren't they now no longer vigilantes? So did something happen with the deputizing deal? Are there or will there be more vigilantes?" Ooh, these are really good questions.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, "Is Curtis actually leaving? I'll miss Mr. Terrific, but Curtis not so much. Although I guess it was helpful that he just happened to have something to cauterize Dinah's wound. Speaking of, the old folks still got the moves in the future. The fight scene with Dinah, Roy, Mia, and Connor was pretty cool, and the show does so well with the fight choreography. And Felicity is alive in the future, which I don't think really comes as a surprise to anyone. Speaking of, Stanley, welcome back. We all knew we'd see him again. And the fact that he is apparently the cause of Dinah's future scar, that kind of stinks. So now the only canary with powers is going to be Laurel, too. Obviously, Dinah's an asset even without her powers, but it just made her more kick-ass. I'm a little surprised they didn't build up his return more. Wasn't it just last week that we started seeing threatening notes? Or maybe I'm wrong about that. So are we assuming Felicity is now pregnant with Mia, but somehow William doesn't know that Felicity and Oliver had a kid? It sounds like this agreement that William goes to live with his grandparents is what results in him not seeing his father again. This all kind of makes it seem like it could be the final season, and I hope not. It has been a great one. Overall, I really like the episode. Although there's still plenty of questions, I have faith most of them will be answered. It was even a minor Flash crossover. I'm giving this episode 9 surprise siblings in need of an explanation. Until next time."
Yeah, he brought up some good questions.
Yeah, and I love his rating system as well. And it would be really sad if Oliver and Felicity don't see William again. I think that's a good point.
Well, that ties into that this whole abandoning thing that he has in the future. They've got to answer that for us.
Yeah, I think it's just that it's possible futures. And there's probably some things that are consistent across futures, but they there are, you know, multiple possible futures so long as they exist in the Flash universe. That's just going to be the reality. And we're seeing one right now, and it may be the one that kind of closely ties to their current present, but I don't even know if they could answer that in a concrete way that's satisfactory.
Yeah, well, the one question he asks here is somehow William doesn't know that Felicity Oliver had a kid and that he has a sister. I mean, that's a massive gap, because she looked anywhere from 18 to 22 years old. Right. That's a lot of time for him to not ever find out that he's got a sister. Yeah. So
something striking would have had to happen. Yeah.
But she knew about him, so yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, I know some good questions in there, Kev, for sure, that we don't have answers to. We're asking the same ones, so good going.
Indeed we do not. But what we do have is another voicemail from Destiny Dazzler.
Yep, here she is.
Hello Squad, it's Destiny Dazzler. I just got done watching the episode. This week's episode was creepy, like a horror movie. I was not really surprised that Stanley was behind the whole thing, just because we hadn't seen him since he escaped from Slabside, and I knew he had to come back at some point. Although, how, like, elaborate his plan was in writing the notes and everything really did surprise me. I was completely surprised that Curtis ended up leaving. I wasn't expecting that at all. And I was surprised that he left alive, that he didn't die. The fact that the girl in the future is Oliver and Felicity's daughter sort of surprised me and sort of didn't, because she looks a lot like Felicity with the blonde hair. So I had a hunch that that's who that might be, but it was still surprising when it got confirmed. I guess William, like, never sees his parents again, because he keeps talking about how Felicity left him and never saw him again, and he didn't even know he had a sister. So, like, once he moved with his grandparents, did he literally never speak to them ever again? Because he didn't know he had a sister. He doesn't understand why Felicity never spoke to him again. So I think that'll be interesting to figure out how the present and the future end up coming together. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
And that is the big question that seems to be hanging for everybody right now, right?
Yeah, it's the question of when the Queen family will be back together again, basically.
Yeah, if and when. I mean, we don't know if Oliver's alive in the future yet. We just found out Felicity is. So now that Maya and William have found each other, do they go now find Felicity? And then when they find her, does she say, yes, we've got to go help Oliver? I think there's a lot coming, so we'll see. But thanks, as always, Dazzler. Next up is an email from Scarlet Vixen, and she says, hello, squad. I'm finally able to write in since the break, and what an episode to comment on. I'm going to rate this a 9 out of 10, my highest of the season, I believe. So much stuff happened, character development, pushing storylines forward, and some big revelations. Now on to my pros and cons. Pros, Stanley. Wow, this dude was super creepy this episode, and man, what a fantastic actor. When he was in the Queen apartment with Oliver, Felicity, and William, and he was saying how he was correcting people in his life and why he attacked people, the veins in his neck popping out, his eyes were bugged, he was more creepy in this one episode than Diaz was his whole storyline. Yes, indeed. Flash forwards. I am so happy they moved the storyline forward and provided us with more answers than the first 11 episodes. Maya is against vigilantes, teaming up with JJ Connor, wants to find Felicity because she's not dead. Yeah, I called that one from the very first time those words were said. The look on her face when William said, that's my mom, was great. Why is she going by Smoke? My theory is, being in this version of Star City, having a last name Queen may not be a good thing, so she changed it. Ah, that's a smart pull, Vixen. Good one. I will get on board with that one.
That is a smart observation.
She's Felicity's daughter, and I know people are saying she didn't say Felicity and Oliver, but I don't see the writers having the baby daddy be anyone but Oliver. Plus, when she revealed herself to William at the end, she said, your sister, which their only connection would be Oliver, since Felicity was just William's stepmom. I can't wait to learn more of what the heck happened. Oliver and Felicity. These two I just love. Oliver finally getting some dad backbone and letting William know he's the parent was great to see, because that kid was getting away with too much back talk, and I get he's angry and all that, but nope, he's still a kid talking to adults. By the end of the episode, they were on much better terms, and that was nice to see. I feel like it was smart to send William to Central City with the grandparents because he does need normal in his life. I don't appreciate how the grandparents came in and crapped all over Oliver and Felicity, but I did see their point. Yeah. Team Arrow. Seeing all of them work together was great to see. Curtis leaving makes sense. He's got an opportunity to build and develop tech, which is what he is best at. They weren't doing him any good with the writing of his Mr. Terrific character, so it's best to just send him on his way. Signing his share of Helix to Felicity is another step towards smoke tech. Poor Dinah, so I'm guessing this is how she lost her canary cry. Just to interject here, we didn't talk about that little moment there of Curtis signing over Helix. I mean, they basically got rid of everything they possibly could with his character attached to this show. He signed it over to her. He didn't even care. He wants her to be in full charge. It was her idea, yada, yada, whatever. I can only see it becoming smoke tech and where to go from there. I mean, they really kind of wiped him clean by doing
I really always saw it as smoke tech as well. It really was always Felicity's brainchild, and Curtis was just there and proficient at the skills needed for the start of the company as well as her. Yeah.
But again, another connection to that Legends episode when we saw the smoke tech building and everyone went, oh, look at that. So again, that's like three or four connections now to that Legends episode.
I definitely think that that sort of outcome is something that we're really looking forward to. It's a kind of future that we can be both interested in the outcome and the process to get there.
Mm-hmm. And it also kind of ties a nice little bow on the whole Helix thing too, because we have not heard them mention it for so many episodes and we're all like going, what the heck? Where did that go? Well, they just tied a nice little bow on it and it could either be done or we could see Felicity turn into smoke tech. So, but anyway, Vixen continues with her cons, and she says, William, I feel bad for saying this, but as much as I like the kid, his anger wasn't believable to me. I know he's young, so he's got a lot of time to work on that, but I do wish that dynamic was portrayed better. That's what I was picking on. I said he couldn't keep up to Stephen Amell in that scene, so I'm with you there, Vixen. Her last con, one con, people. That's the first time that's happened, I think. Favorite line, ew, no, I'm gay and she's my mom. Haha, that made me laugh out loud.
I agree.
Welp, another mini break till March 4th until then. Oh, do we have a hiatus for a couple weeks? I didn't know that.
I believe we do, and I hadn't actually looked into that.
Oh, well, yeah, we should take a quick check into that while we go on to the next voicemail. But I want to say thanks, Vixen. Always awesome pros and cons. Let's listen to a voicemail from someone we haven't heard from, I think, yet this season, have we?
Yes, Amanda has left us some pre-show feedback earlier this season a couple times.
Cool. Well, I will be happy to hear from her again. Here she is.
Hello, Arrow Squad. Amanda Tavares here. I've been away for a few episodes because since the crossover, I feel Arrow wasn't getting me as excited as I usually is with the show, but oh my god, what an episode. This was by far one of my favorite episodes, not only of this season, but the entire show. We had a great villain with an emotional connection to our hero. Those crazy eyes were scary. We had good, solid drama. I'm a parent myself, so I totally empathize with Oliver's pain. The doing what's best for your kid versus what's best for you, it's real, and it hurts sometimes, and this time it hurt real good. Oliver was the main focus, so that in itself already makes the episode great in my book. Arrow's also suffering with so many characters, so I'm not sad at all to see some of them go. And the big revelation at the end? That's how you slay an episode. Pun intended. 10 out of 10 for me. Beijinhos, Amanda.
Oh, it's so good to hear from Amanda again. The kisses in her native language. So cute. I love it.
And she brought up another point, which a few of you have said, is that there's too many characters on the show. And I love it. It's sad that we have to say goodbye to characters, but I love that the writers are acknowledging that there's too much going on and they can't flesh out a storyline and a plot line very well when there's too many pieces at play. So, you know, hats off to them for acknowledging that and fixing that. It's hard to do. It's sad to do, but it's got to be done. So, yeah, I like that she brought that up like everyone else.
Yeah.
Thanks, always Amanda. Mm-hmm. Last one, and certainly not ever least, is an email from... Oh, no, we got two more. Sorry. Let's go on to Stormy Woods. What does Stormy have to say?
Stormy writes in to say that she gives this episode a 10 out of 10, which I think is a first for Stormy. She says, This episode was fantastic. Let me get one thing out of the way that didn't interest me. Curtis is leaving the show and is off to Washington, D.C. While I've never been done with the Curtis character for a long time, where she says, while I have been done with the Curtis character for a long time, I wish nothing but great things for Echo in the future. Yes. She said, I was happy to see him signing over his part of Helix to Felicity, and I hope this means we are getting Smoke Tech finally. She says, Stan is one creepy, evil little dude. We've been stuck with Diaz for almost 2 seasons. I forgot what it's like to have a great villain on Arrow. Stanley, unlike Diaz, has been realistic and believable, has a believable backstory. He was abused by his father, which clearly led to mental health issues. He killed his parents and then his older brother when he didn't show Stan appreciation. Stan is targeting those who he felt turned their backs on Oliver, which is really interesting. Now we know where Dinah got that scar on her neck from as well. I wonder if she loses her canary cry from the attack because she hasn't used it in the flash forward. Stan is obsessed with Oliver and by extension his family, so the scene in the Queen home was terrifying. Seeing the Queen family work together to take out Stan, though, was awesome. Let's get to the best part of this episode for me, the Queen family. Boy, was that an emotional roller coaster episode for this family. William is rightly angry at Oliver for making decisions without asking his family, and I also understand William wanting a normal life, and sadly, that's not something superheroes can have. When the grandparents showed up, I knew William was going to live with them. I loved Oliver standing up for himself and Felicity as parents when the grandparents said they weren't fit to care for William. There's no doubt in my mind they love William and want to do what's best for him. And when William chose to live with his grandparents, it was like a dagger to my heart. Oliver and Felicity made sure William knew he always had a home with them. And seeing this makes no sense that William in the future says he was abandoned by his parents. He made the choice to leave, and they clearly didn't abandon him, so I wonder why he lied or whatever else happens to make him feel that way.
Yeah, see?
She says, we get the long-awaited and already guest reveal that Black Star is Felicity's daughter, Mia Smoke. As soon as that actress was cast, I thought, yep, she's their future daughter. The actress comes from a popular show, and she already has fight training from that series. I got to live tweet the episode with my fellow Felicity fans on Twitter, and it exploded in happiness when Mia revealed who she is. When she said, I don't believe Felicity is dead, I was like, girl, me too. It was sweet to see William call Felicity mom, and Mia clearly has a love for her mother. Mia is the perfect blend of her parents. She has the fighting skills of her father and the intelligence plus sarcasm of her mother. The fact that the daughter of the Queens and the son of the Diggles are working together makes me so happy. JJ and Mia clearly have a bond with each other, which makes me hopeful that they grew up together.
Yeah.
William not knowing his sister was heartbreaking, though, and I do wonder when they lost touch. Something bad clearly happened in the future to have the Queen family so separated. Interesting note in the Mark of Four tattoo, there is a star, and I'm sure Mia chose her code name for a reason. Not to mention Mia has a constellation tattoo on her shoulder with a queen bee, which we saw in her first appearance. There has to be a reason that Mia is going by Smoke and JJ is going by Connor Hawk, possibly to protect them. Mild spoilers, possibly. She says the sneak peek for next week had Diggle telling Oliver and Felicity he's working for Diaz, and Felicity was angry, saying he tried to kill our family. Hopefully this is the episode Diggle's treatment of Felicity is exposed to Oliver and Felicity has it out with Diggle. I want OTA back, but they need to work through things first. Good analysis, Stormy. Wow.
Yeah.
I love her recaps. So good.
She really had some good points there, especially with the tattoo. That was awesome. Black Star being a reason for her codename. That makes a lot of sense. The fact that, and she also brings up that Maya is going by Smoke and JJ is going by Connor Hawk. You're the second feedbacker to say that it could be to protect themselves because all vigilantes have their identities revealed. So that actually ties into that storyline. So that's really smart pulls, you guys. And then just the rest of your thoughts. Like, yeah, really, really good feedback this week there, Stormy.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Always good to hear from her. Well, our last feedbacker is Miss Kate Johnson, who sent in some feedback this week. Do you want to read that one, Flash?
I will take this one. She says, "Hey, guys. So this season has presented us with some amazing episodes, but I think this could quite possibly be my favorite yet. It was well-paced, tonally balanced, and was able to push plot and character development along simultaneously. I had very few complaints, and as I type this out, I am actually shaking from excitement. 9.75 out of 10. So first, my one complaint, Curtis during the entire thing was just disrupting the flow and tone of every scene he had. I only liked his scene with Felicity because I felt like that was a kind gesture and a final show of friendship between them as he leaves." All right, so I just need to say from the word go, this episode was insanely well written, directed, and acted. I felt interested in the creepy storyline all the way up to the ultimate reveal. It was captivating and had me on the edge of my seat, even though I was 90% sure it was Stan. That shows that you can make the villain terrifying and thrilling. I thought the acting was great. Sometimes the kid actors fall flat, but I thought that the kid that plays William did a pretty good job without crossing into the unbelievably melodrama. Even the girl that plays Zoe did a good job for her small part. Actually, in that scene, I think Zoe out-acted William when they were doing their thing in the apartment there. So I think William really struggled this episode. Anyway, she goes on, "The actor who plays Stan really went for it, and I believed every moment of his crazy behavior. I thought that Stephen and Emily also did amazing in their scenes, and I felt every emotion they portrayed. The reveals, while most of them had been previously speculated by fans, did a fantastic job of showing how they all fit together. Most people had either guessed that Maya was Felicity's daughter or had at least heard the theory, so for them to pull off an engaging disclosing scene was very commendable. I love that they so simply explained the scar Dinah has with such a meaningful and suspenseful scene. I even love that they showed Felicity teaching William how to make a cube in a cube pattern on the Rubik's Cube, a reference to one of the very first episodes of the season. I also really love the pregnancy reveal. I knew it was coming from the moment she asked Stan what they had been dosed with, and her mentioning the blood test in the hospital only sealed the deal, but I was still so happy. I think they hold off on her telling Oliver until the end of the episode next week, but that's just a guess. I just hope that they continue giving them believable, healthy storylines and dialogue. They could very easily make Oliver overbearing and protective, and to an extent I think it will be necessary for his character, but they also shouldn't overdo it. He has gone through enough to recognize he has a strong, capable wife who can handle herself. I think this episode will be a catalyst for a lot of what happens over the next few episodes, as it tied up some questions and reignited some others, and I can't wait for the plot to rev back up again. I am so excited. Kate." I think you are there with so many of us that this was one of the best episodes this season, and like me and Cammy were talking about, this is an excellent turning point right in the middle of the season to really kick things into another gear and take who knows what directions. Yeah, I mean, I totally feel what you were feeling.
Yeah, this episode was such a good setup for what's coming next in the series. It was just perfect. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, so much so. Well, thank you, everyone, for your fantastic feedback. As always, I'm happy to be back in the groove and back with everybody. Sorry, Harley, I'm taking my seat back.
Well, we are happy to have Flash back, and we are happy to be up and running following the 150th episode. Now, normally, I would tell you guys the title of next week's episode, but according to IMDb, it's still not released. Now, someone correct me if it's out there somewhere, but that's usually where we pull our info from.
Yeah.
And that will be on the 18th of February, 2019. So, unless we're missing something, I don't think we're actually going on hiatus, Flash.
Yeah, we'll have to look into it. I'll look into it when we're done recording here, and I will post it on the Facebook page. So if I find out an answer, I'll do that for you guys, so you know.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Well, it's a great episode this week. I'm excited.
It was. So thanks for being with us, guys. As always, you are awesome, the best listeners out there. We'll see you guys hopefully in a week. This is The Flash, signing off for now.
And this is Cammy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media. You can find all our contact info, links, and feedback form at arrowsquad.com. We'd also love to have you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. If you're looking for other great discussions about your favorite TV shows, check out our partner podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com. As always, please share the show, and thanks for listening.